Happy Mother's Day. What a great day. Hey, have you ever had that experience where you've been looking for something, really looking for it, and then it ends up being right in front of you? And you're like, how did that just get there? How did that? I mean, you know you've had that experience. Either in your house, you're searching for something, and then suddenly it's in plain sight, and you wonder who put it there. I have that experience very often when I'm in a store. I go to Target, or I go to Best Buy, or someplace like that, and I'm looking for something. And inevitably, I walk around aisle after aisle searching for it, because men don't ask for directions, and they don't need help. And it speaks to our need for respect and all of those kinds of things. And so you spend a certain amount of time walking around the store knowing that you have the capacity and you are able in your own strength to find what you need. And then eventually the amount of time that it takes outpaces your need for respect. And so you go and you find someone in a blue shirt and you go, excuse me, I've been searching for hours now for where the DVDs are. Can you please tell me where they are? And they go, those ones? And you kind of do one of these like, oh, okay, look, who just put those there? Because I walked down this aisle 9 different times. And he goes, no, they've been there for quite a while, actually. This last month, the journey toward Mother's Day has in many ways been an experience like that for me. It has been an experience of me discovering something that somehow has eluded me over the years, and I see it perhaps for the very first time in its fullness, and I'm just going, it's been here the whole time. How did I miss this? And I really want to journey you guys through my journey to just kind of discover along with me what it is that I've discovered that's been in plain sight all this time and I've totally missed. The journey really begins here with Mosaic Church in terms of what we live for and what we understand to be the Christian life, that is following Jesus. We understand it here to be something very simple, not easy, don't get me wrong, but simple. See, in its simplest form, this is what happened. We were created as humanity in perfection, in right relationship with God, to enjoy forever life and light and freedom in the beauty and wonder of a relationship with God, with our Creator and Sustainer, so that we would bear His image and He would make Himself known to us through creation and through His relationship with us. That's what was supposed to happen. But we pursued our own divinity instead of trusting His divinity. And what we find ourselves doing in the story of Scripture is instead of finding divinity, we found death. We were separated from light and from life and from freedom, and we found ourselves dead and dark and in bondage. And now we become a race that is clawing for rescue and clawing for divinity. We are chasing after the wind, as Solomon puts it, hoping that we can find some form of significance in the life that we live, and that will be enough. But it's never enough. And so that's our fate, our end. But the story of Scripture tells us that the God who created us does not leave us devastated by the fall, but He comes to rescue us from that devastation, and He calls us, He drags us, He rescues us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light, from the dominion of death into the dominion of life, from bondage into freedom. And not only does He call us into this, but the story of Scripture tells us that He makes us brand new in the process. Our identity shapes and changes. So we go from being children of wrath to being children of God, from children of darkness to children of light, from children of death to children of life. We are, in essence, adopted into a new family, the family we were originally created to be part of. So here's the simplicity of it. We're lost, He comes for us and rescues us, and He makes us new. Woo! That's kind of the story of the gospel. But it doesn't stop there. As we continue the story, we discover this. He invites us now into a life of purpose, which we call around here mission. He calls us onto mission, and He says, now that you belong to the kingdom of light, but you still live in the dominion of darkness on a planet that runs by chasing after the wind, you are to live your life in such a way that it displays and demonstrates the realities of this kingdom, so people will see and know what redemption is and what love is and what life is and what freedom is and what light is, and you are the light to the world now. That's our mission. So every day, whether it is as husband or father, as friend or coworker, as neighbor or enemy, we are to display the reality of our freedom in our rescue and our new identity through the mission that we live on. And life is our mission. So, in simple form, that is the Christian life. But the problem with this life that's so simple is that living on mission is very hard. It's not easy because it goes against everything that we were bred to believe on this planet, right? It's not about you. It's about others. It's about the kingdom of God. You've got to sacrifice. It's going to be hard. And so in America, you know, we've learned the equation, right? It starts hard, then it gets easy. If it doesn't get easy, something went wrong somewhere. But missional living says, oh, it might be hard forever, but that's okay because it's full of life and purpose that is going to lead you into life. Jesus put it this way. If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. But if you try to save your life, if you chase after the wind, you will lose it, right? So missional living is awesome, but it's hard. So what I tend to do is I run around and I search around every corner for stories that display the reality of missional living. I look for people that have got it and are saying, yes, I'm living this life. Their life is complex. It is hard. It isn't easy. But there is life being born out of it because of what they're doing. And I look for those stories. And when we find those stories, we display them. We go, look, this is missional living. It's incredible. It's awesome. It's amazing. You should do it. And that's sort of what I run around doing, looking for missional stories. And there are not a lot of them. I mean, it's not like in this world in America, there's a ton of missional stories because most of us are bent on trying to pursue something that will ultimately meet our needs. It's not evil or horrible or bad. I'm just saying it's what we do, right? So missional stories are not like a dime a dozen. So then this last month or so, Brooke and I have engaged in a relatively missional story, right? I mean, we adopted 4 kids from Ethiopia. We're so excited. We finally got them after 3.5 years. They're in our home, and it's wonderful, and it's beautiful, and it's incredible, and it's extraordinary, and it's horrid, and it's crazy, and we're overwhelmed. And so suddenly, the romance to reality is becoming a reality. And, you know, I said it, oh, it's going to go from romance to reality, but I had no idea what reality actually was, right? So you've all been here before. On some level in your life, where you stepped into something that was awesome and beautiful, and as you stepped into it, and the reality of it hit home, and as hard as it was, you went, wow, this is hard. This is definitely hard. So I've been watching in my home a story unfold in my household of what it looks like to live life even when it's hard. In fact, Brooke, my wife, she posted a blog online that she was reading. She reads this, one of the blogs she reads is by a woman named Jen Hatmaker, who also adopted kids, and she's a lot further along than we are in the journey, but she's a great writer, and so she writes a blog, and one of the blogs that she wrote was just about their experience in the early days of adoption, and she wrote this blog to her friends just going, just so you know, this is kind of what's secretly going on in our lives, okay? And so this is one little teeny tiny part of that blog that I just want to read to you because it kind of hit home. I just loved this part of it. There's a lot in the blog I loved. Here's one of them. It said, for the next few months, do not assume the transition is easy. For 95% of us, it is not so. And this isn't because our family is dysfunctional or our kids are lemons, but because this phase is so very hard for everyone. You could plant that sentence into any form of missional living, not just adoption, right? When you step into something big that God calls you into and it's hard, then sometimes it's just because it's hard, not because something went desperately wrong, right? So she says, I can't tell you how difficult it is for me sometimes to hear, you must be so happy. Oh, and life must be so awesome now that they're here. Or your family seems just perfect now. I wanted to believe that that was true so deeply, but I had no idea how to tell you that our home was actually a trauma center. Do not act shocked if we tell you how hard the early stages are. Do not assume adoption was a mistake. Do not worry we have ruined our lives because everything's gone bad. Do not talk behind our backs about how terribly we're doing and how worried you are about our suicidal thoughts. And yes, we have suicidal thoughts. Do not ask thinly veiled questions implying that we are obviously doing something very, very wrong. Do not say things like, I was afraid it was going to be like this for you. Or, our other friends don't seem to be having these issues. Just struggle with us, be our friends in the mess, and we'll get better. Now, I'm not sharing that because that's fully been our experience because we have an incredible community here that has been part of our journey. I'm sharing that to remind us all that when we step into missional living, it is often hard. And I have watched in my home as my wife, who has experienced the reality of all the details of this journey. See, I live in the big picture. It's all good, you know. Oh, it's a beautiful story. It's incredible. But she actually has to deal with the everyday stuff of dealing with all the things. And it's been hard for her. It's been hard for Brooke. And as I've watched it be hard for her, as I've watched her go to bed many nights overwhelmed and scared and afraid that she's inadequate and can't do it, and how does she pull this off, and what's going to happen, and what about the other life we used to have? Does that ever come back again, or is it lost forever? And should I even want that? Isn't that selfish? I want, and all that stuff. Here's what I've watched. Every single morning, Brooke gets out of bed as exhausted and overwhelmed and scared and afraid and weak as she could possibly perceive herself to be. She gets out of that bed, she goes downstairs, she makes a cup of coffee, and she engages deeply into the lives of the children that we have. I've told her this weekend, I said, you know, one of the most extraordinary things I've seen is that the children have never felt the impact of your incredible evolution you're trying to go through. And all of the fears and accumulated stuff that's in your life, you somehow just walk back into that life and you just go for it. It's incredible. And then it dawned on me. You're going to go like, Renaud, you are so stupid. And I'm going to go, yes, I am. So here's the deal. It dawned on me. This is not the first time I've watched Brooke do this. This has been a long journey for Brooke from the time our first child was born. She has stepped into the world every day, often overwhelmed by the reality of what it means to be a mom, and yet still walking into it with deep and abiding and incredible courage, saying, I'll do it. I've watched her at 3 a.m. feeding a baby in bed after she's run around with the 2 other toddlers in the day, and she's exhausted in the day, and she's exhausted in the night, and yet every day she gets up and she pours her life into the lives of our children. And now, once again, as 4 more have entered in, it has just sort of made that reality all the more fresh again. Here's my wife again, giving all of herself away for the sake of these 8 children. How many dreams, or how many longings, or how many wonderings has she had over the years that have never been touched or never been looked at because she's been pouring herself into our children? How many times has she abandoned what she could have, wanted to, might have been for the sake of the children? As my wife often says, I used to have a brain, and now it's gone. How does that happen? And as I watched Brooke, I realized that I am literally watching the reality of motherhood play out. You know what it looks like? It looks just like missional living. It's spending yourself for the sake of others for a greater cause, and sometimes, actually most times, it's just plain hard and overwhelming and insane, but you do it every day. So we jumped into the lives of women around here, and we started asking some questions like, what's it like to be a mom? What do you fear? What do you struggle with? What's hard for you? How is it difficult? And as we started interviewing moms right here in the walls of our community at Mosaic, we started seeing incredible things come out. As a matter of fact, if I thought I kind of got it by watching Brooke's life unfold, the reality of the complexities and intricacies and struggles and difficulties of what it means to be a mom was so exponentially expanded for me as I got to hear the hearts of other women as they expressed both the beauty and the difficulty of being a mom. And as I listened into the stories, I realized we need to hear these stories. So we got to hear from a number of moms. We picked a few stories. We didn't use them all. Some we've saved for later. Just to share with you, as they shared with me, the reality of what it looks like to be a mom. And we began to discover, as we will today, the complexities of motherhood. One of the things I realized as I watched these videos unfold and I listened to these women is that moms, When they parent a child, they carry that child in every way. I'm not just talking about like physically carry them around or even like bear some of their burdens. I'm saying they carry their dreams and their hopes, their fears and their struggles. They carry their pain. They carry their difficulty. It is almost as though a mother, whatever the child is going through, the mother goes through along with the child. So now, instead of just carrying her own reality of struggles and pains, she carries the reality of her children as well and bears their burdens. Although we heard it throughout number of stories, the story that best captured this moment of a mother carrying the burdens of her children was found in Julie's story. Take a listen to this.
My name is Julie South. I've been married for almost 17 years, and I am blessed to be the mother of 4 precious little girls between the ages of 8 and 12. In my journey of overcoming fear as a mother of a daughter with complex medical needs, I realized after years of fighting and years of struggling, years of watching her suffer, that I was grieving. I was grieving everything. I grieved every loss that we suffered. I grieved every bit of pain that she endured. I grieved not knowing what was happening to my child. I grieved the possibility of losing her one day and not having her to hold in my arms. And along the way, God showed me that I was lost in my grief, and in that I was missing the incredible joy of being in His presence. God was showing me amazing things through Michaela's life. And when I opened my eyes and turned them from the grief to the beauty of Him, I was able to see that each and every day, the unconditional love that was shown through her life, the millions of I love yous, the precious moments of seeing her overcome and with a smile on her face. I was missing the joy of the Lord. And I no longer grieve, even though I may never have that answer in this lifetime. I no longer grieve. I find joy in every precious moment, and I thank God for every bit of her life.
Do you hear it there? I mean, it's a beautiful story, and you see the beauty in it, but do you hear the struggle in it as well? It is like this blending of struggle and beauty and power and strength and difficulty all in one incredible blend, and you hear that in the heart of a mother over and over again as we talked to these moms and all the difficulties that they went through. As I continued down the journey of listening into the hearts of moms, I started discovering, too, that motherhood is something very interesting, because it is something that once it beats in the heart of a woman, it is an all-consuming reality. It impacts and influences and begs questions in every area of their life. It asks them and it begs from them whether they're adequate, whether they're able, whether they're going to have a legacy or not, whether they're going to succeed or not, whether they're going to accomplish it or not. And it is an overwhelming burden to carry, to know that in my hands are the reality of these children and I don't think I can do it. And many times in the lives of women, as they enter into motherhood in the early part of their lives, that reality plays home deeply. We heard it in a number of stories. The story that best captured it was the story of Andrea as she shared her early days of parenting and the incredible struggles of discovering who she was and how she fit into the picture. Listen to this.
I'm Andrea Palmer, and I have six children here on earth with me and one in heaven, and I'm still a mom to all seven. I think probably the best place to start is that I started out being a mom as a kid at 17, and I was probably the least likely person in my family that anyone would think that would become a mom and be a mom that would leave a heritage. And I think that's my message today, is the fact that a heritage is coming from me that no one suspected, not even myself. And so when I become this mom at 17, here I am, again, leaving out the dad, unmarried, and he doesn't want anything to do with me or anything to do with our daughter that was on the way. And so here I am thinking, what kind of heritage am I gonna leave? She's gonna be just as confused as I was, and still was at that point. So for me, it became a control. I didn't want to mess up another woman's life. And so I abandoned my daughter and felt like the best thing was my mom taking care of her, even though my mother struggled as a single parent, raising my five brothers, and here I am now leaving her with another child and going to pursue college and the other things that mattered. And I think for my daughter, her life reminded me that to take care of this life is to remember that there's no one who wants her other than you. And it was not until 20 that it was inescapable. I came to Christ after a series of events, and at that time, my daughter is almost three, and she only knows my mom as her mom. And I didn't think I deserved her back. And so that was a journey too, just to acquire my daughter back in my life and for my mom to entrust her to me. And during this whole time, I'm understanding that the father's heart that I longed for, to find significance in, to make sense of motherhood, to make sense of my life, was the father that Christ constantly talked about.
Here's Andrea with her husband Keith leaving a tremendous legacy into the six children that she's now raising. And not only that, but pastoring the woman here at this church as she leaves a legacy here. And it starts so complex, doesn't it? So difficult as it consumes the reality of who you are and whether you can and whether you will and how you will and how all that works. As we continue to walk through the journey of mothering and what motherhood looks like and what kind of heart beats inside of the chest of a mom, we bumped into some other interesting complexities along the way that makes mothering so intricate and so difficult at times. In the culture that we live in, oftentimes in the ideal world where you get married and you have kids and everything's wonderful, I don't know that any of us actually live in that particular full world, but many times there are versions of that that seem so broken and so lost in the relationships, and so we end up oftentimes in the reality of single motherhood. And motherhood is hard enough. Single motherhood is a whole nother ball game. And in the story of what it means to be a mom, struggling without the reality of a dad involved because of brokenness in those relationships, we discovered there too the heart of a mom beating so deeply to try and pour into the reality of their children, and now to have to be more than they ever intended or needed to be, and now they have to try to figure out what that means. This is not easy, and it was captured best in the story of Carrie. I want you to listen in.
My name is Carrie Brown, and I'm the mother of Gracie, who's 5. And I named her Grace because she came to me in a time of my life when I was completely empty and broken. Being a single mother is difficult. Being a mother in general can be pretty hard, but being a single mother especially, because you're doing everything all on your own and making all the decisions on your own, and sometimes you get so weary. But my biggest heartache is that Gracie doesn't have a loving father to be with her and hold her and spend time with her and father her like I wish she had. And the only thing I can do is just get on my knees and ask God to fill in those gaps in her life and fill up her heart and help me be an adequate, loving mother that I can fill up some of those spaces for her, and to bring good Christian men into our lives that can be sort of a surrogate father for her whenever we're around them. And I know that God will do that. He is faithful to provide.
Man, how do you walk through life as a mom when there is a dad that's absent, whether physically absent and you're a single mom, or whether there's just an absentness? And really, for the most part, moms, oftentimes, as we head out to work and to provide and to do what we need to do, the burden carried day in and day out of pouring into the children lays so deeply and squarely on the hearts of moms, and they carry that burden, and it feels so complex and so difficult. As we continued to walk down, I discovered something, because you kind of figure, I mean, you know, being a mom never really ends, right? We all kind of know that. We all say that it will never really end. But you do assume that at a certain point when the kids get out of the house and they go do their own thing, that the burden of motherhood ends, right? I mean, you still keep being a mom, but the burden. But you know what we discovered? It doesn't end at all. In fact, perhaps it begins in a whole new level then. Because as children grow into adults and they start making their own decisions, what we kept hearing from moms was, you know what's amazing? I poured my whole life into these kids, and now they're making decisions like they never heard from me in the entire world. It's like, what is wrong with them, right? I mean, they're not bad, horrible kids. They're choosing their own way. They're supposed to choose my way. I mean, we just heard the deep burdens of moms as their kids are choosing paths that they would not choose for them. And they're going, oh, I wouldn't choose that for you. Don't do that. And you see the heart of a mom struggling and grieving and working through the realities of what it looks like to release children into the world and trust that God is going to guard their hearts, as you now seem to be losing grip on that. That story was beautifully captured in the story of Deb as she shares. Listen in.
My name is Deb Moline. I am the mother of 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. And after having been a mom for more than 24 years now, I've certainly had my share of ups and downs and joys and frustrations. I think now the biggest thing that I'm dealing with as a mom is, what do you do when you have done your best to raise your child like Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. What do you do when they depart from it? And what does that mean for me as a mom? Does it mean that there was something I should have done that I didn't do, or something that I did do that I shouldn't have done? And just questioning, you know, what went wrong? I think that what I've had to come to realize is that no matter how often we went to church when my kids were growing up, and how many Christian-based programs they were in, how many scripture verses they memorized, when they come of age, they will and do make their own choices, and some of them will be choices that I would rather have them not make. It doesn't mean that I wasn't a good enough parent or a perfect parent. And I think the hardest thing to do at that point is to just release them into God's hands and know that even when they're walking down a path that I would not choose for them to walk down, that God can and will eventually redeem that time and use those experiences for His purpose and His glory.
Man, I mean, it just never ends, does it? I mean, every day that you wake up, if the heart of a mom beats inside of you, every day you carry the reality and the burden of what it means to be a human being, giving yourself for another, carrying another's burdens, walking life for them, and wishing, hoping, and dreaming on their behalf. And then as we continued down this path, we bumped into another category of woman that I think is so often missed in this, one that is so often untouched, but one that exists all around us. They are women that walk among us all the time, that carry the burden of a mother's heart inside of them, but have never had the opportunity to step into the reality of motherhood because of multiple circumstances. Many of the women that we bumped into, many of the people we've talked to, found themselves longing for children, having spent long, long periods of time wishing to bear children, but were unable to do that, either because within their marriage they were unable, or because for several of the women we bumped into, they have yet to find a man that they can step into marriage with. And as the years tick on and the hopes to bear children and be mothers is slowly seeming to fade away, the mother's heart beats deeply in them, and they long to be moms, but they struggle because God is not providing for them a child. And so hope is found even within that story, but you see the struggle and the longings of that. We captured that beautifully in Amanda's story as you listen in. Listen to her.
My name is Amanda Wright. I've never been married, and I don't have any children. Though I am not a mother, God has given me the opportunity to invest and love some very special kids, my nephew Aiden and my sweet friend Suzanne's children, Etienne and Emmeline. The Lord has redeemed my empty heart for the children I may never bear and overfilled it with joy and desire to love these kids. I don't know where my story will end, but I do know my God is faithful, and He never ceases to provide me with opportunities to love.
I mean, you hear the redemption in that story and the joy, but you also hear the pain, don't you? Oh, how I long that I would have this, but it has not come my way. And you see and feel the heart of a mom beating inside many who have longed for that. If you look at all of this, and there's so many more stories I can play, I think one of the things that I've discovered as I've watched moms and listened to moms, and especially as I've watched my wife, I've come to realize that in this journey that we run on as moms, not me, you guys, as you run on that journey, the reality of your identity and your adequacies and your dignity and your abilities, all of it is called into this picture. All of it feels like it's on the line, doesn't it? And so you wonder constantly, am I good enough? Can I do it? Am I doing it? Have I failed? Am I failing? I don't know. And every time a child moves to the left or the right, somehow you must ask, what have I done wrong, or what have I not done right that has caused this to happen? And in that process, the thing that we do, all of us human beings, and I see it in moms too, is we begin to look around at all the other worlds around us, and we go, wow, she's really good at that, and wow, she's amazing. She's an amazing mom at this. And we begin to ask ourselves, how come I can't do it as well as they can? This is what haunts anyone that lives in the missional life and pours themselves out for others, especially in the heart of a mom. And the story that best captured this reality was found in Brooke's story. Listen in as she shares.
Hi, my name is Brooke Vanderitt, and I am married to Renaud. We have 8 children. As most of you know, we recently brought home 4 children from Ethiopia, making us a family of 10. And so many people over the last few weeks have just come up and constantly been sharing how excited they are and congratulations, and it's so wonderful. And every time someone comes up and says, "Oh, that's so wonderful," my smile, and then I think, "Oh, you have no idea how crazy this is and how insane, and my life is turning upside down as you speak." And it's really easy for the doubts to just come in and take over. And so my cry as of late has been, "God, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe that this is your calling. I know that you are with me. Help me when the doubts come in." It's easy to think about all my different friends and how they could handle it. She's such a great homeschooler and I'm not. And she's such a great wife and I'm kind of struggling right now in that. And she's patient and I'm just a wreck. And I want to compare myself to all my friends who seem to have it together. But just reminded that I am just the clay and that God is the potter and that he is shaping me and he is making me into who he wants me to be. And that it is not my place to question or ask what he's doing. And so I give myself willingly and I say, "God, here I am. I'm willing. That's pretty much all I have going for me at this point. So just take me and use me in my weakness." And so when the days are long and I'm tired and I want to give up, I just continue to take deep breaths and say, "God, I believe in you. I believe that you are in me. I believe that you are faithful. So help my unbelief."
It is almost as though God stepped into my life like the guy in the blue shirt and went, "You mean those DVDs right over there?" As I search for lives that demonstrate the reality of life on mission, it was like God said, "Look around. Any woman who has the heart of a mother beating in her and is living that life, is spending herself for the sake of others, is giving herself away. She is exhausted. She is overwhelmed. She is spent. She doesn't have anything left. She feels inadequate and weak and tired. She doesn't know how she's going to pull it off. And yet every single morning she gets up out of bed and she gives herself back into the reality of this life she's been called into." This is what we call in our culture courage, right? In the face of fear, I still do what's right. Courage is not someone who has no fear. Courage is someone who has tons of fear and still gets up and does it. And what I've started recognizing and seeing once again in a fresh new way, both in my wife and in so many of you that we talked with, is that every single day, despite fear and despite inadequacy and despite weakness and despite exhaustion and despite all the things that come with being a mom, you guys wake up every morning and with courage, you walk back into the world and say, "I've got to do it. I'm going to do it." Your perseverance is extraordinary. Your courage is inspiring. And I'm blown away by the lives I'm seeing. So many stories right here in front of us. Missional stories of people choosing to live in the reality of mission. And we call them moms. That's what we call them, moms. You know, as I watch my wife over the last 12 years of parenting and have watched her perseverance through it, and I've watched many of you as you've persevered through thick and thin, the question started popping up in my mind, how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you get up every morning and live? I mean, I try to live on mission, I got to tell you. So I kind of get the life you're living. But the difference, I think, in part is that I kind of get to disengage whenever I'm like, okay, today I'm just going to take a break. But it seems like moms don't get that opportunity, do you? You don't get to say, "Today I'm done. I'm taking a break. I'm leaving. Hopefully someone will find the kids at the house." It doesn't work that way, right? So how do you persevere? How do you run this race? How do you stick with it? And as we asked the woman here in the midst of these walls, I started hearing a theme that kind of made its way through. And it was the theme that so deeply speaks back to all of us that want to live on mission, saying if you want to persevere in a missional life that is hard and difficult, that leads to beauty and wonder and has incredible moments in it, but it is hard and difficult and complex when you have nothing left, run back to who rescued you and who made you new. Find your strength in the place where only strength can be found. And what I heard from these women over and over again in different expressions was, man, what I've discovered in my journey is that God is shaping me and I need him desperately every day. And so whenever I run to him, I find strength that is not my own, and it helps me persevere when I don't want to. What a beautiful illustration of how we are to live as men and women on mission. Running hard, being spent, giving ourselves completely beyond our capacity, and then finding ourselves back in abiding with God only to find the strength we need to continue to live the life he's called us to. I want you to listen in just briefly to the women that have shared where they find their perseverance and their courage when they need it. Listen to this.
In my journey as a mother, with the overwhelming fear of having a medically fragile child and not knowing what was going to happen, I searched and searched for answers, and I did everything within my power thinking that I could find those and that I was going to be able to fix her. And in that process, God showed me clearly that my trust needed to be in him alone, and that if I trusted him with my whole heart, that I was going to find peace. He had it all covered, and he had her life planned out, and he knew what was to come, and he knew what we needed to equip us to deal with it. And that in my own searching, I pulled myself away from his peace, and I pulled myself away from him himself, and I took it all to myself. And that in the end, my trust needed to be in him, and only then would I find peace.
As a mother, I have learned that I can be really thankful that God is just totally in control in what goes on in my life and in the lives of my kids, and that he will equip me today for what I need today, and he will equip me tomorrow for what I need tomorrow.
Now that my children are grown and they are adults and making their own choices and decisions about paths that they are going to walk down, I have to realize that no matter what my failures or shortcomings may have been as a mom, that the seeds that were planted there when they were little, God can and will redeem them in their future. Even though they may choose to walk down paths that I may not want them to walk down, but God can take that still and use that for his glory and his purpose in their future.
Each day, as the doubts come into my mind and my heart, and I question whether I can parent these 8 children, I choose to say, Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief.
I am so thankful for God's faithfulness and the fact that he does not require us to be perfect, but just to follow him, and that we cannot mess up the story that he's already written. We just need to follow him. And for that, I'm so thankful.
It's not about how good of a mom I am or how good of a mom I'm ever going to be. It's about how big of a God I serve and I trust.
You know, I would say probably in the last 6 weeks, my wife would say that she, in all of her years of parenting, has never felt more weak and inadequate than she has over the last few weeks. And I don't blame her at all. We went from 4 to 8 in a heartbeat, and 4 of them don't speak English. And it's an incredible reality of working through the cultural differences and everything else that comes with that. And it's been beautiful. It's been extraordinary, but it's been difficult and hard simultaneously. And here's the interesting thing. Here's the irony of all of that. As I have watched my wife walk through these last 6 weeks in all of her perceived weakness and perceived inadequacies, as far as I'm concerned, I've never seen her more strong. I've never seen her more courageous. Every day, getting up despite all of the burden she carries and all of the reality that comes with what she has to do. And every day, she steps into life on mission and she lives in the details, all those details, and she works her way through them. And that is incredible. I have come to discover again, as I've seen so many times in the lives of moms, that where you are weak, moms, God is made strong in you. And so you make him strong for us. You show him to be strong to us because you show us how living life on mission can and is possible because you find yourself in him. And as you show the courage that you do as moms, I want you to know that it is apparent to me and it is apparent to us that you are clothed in dignity as he demonstrates the depths of your character. So if someone hasn't told you in a while, and I'm sure that's probably the case because I know I'm guilty of not telling my wife this nearly often enough, hear it at least from me today. Hear it from us here at Mosaic Moms. We think you're incredibly courageous. You inspire us. You live the life that leads us into the life we should live if we know Jesus. And your strength is incredible as he strengthens you, and your dignity is so clear to us. You are indeed clothed in dignity and strength. And as moms, we thank you dearly for living the life you do because you inspire us to live the lives we should. And we love you guys. If I may just take a minute, I would love to pray for you right now and just thank God for you and pray his blessing over you moms before we step into some worship as we worship the God who strengthens us. God, I thank you today for all the women that are in this place that have in their hearts the heart of a mother beating in them. God, across the spectrum, whether they are women here whose children are grown, whether they are women here who long to have children of their own but have not been able to step into that yet and have longed for years, whether they are women that are traveling through the complications and realities of single motherhood, or whether they are women that are feeding a baby while chasing a toddler, whether they are women that have teenagers and are navigating those paths. God, it doesn't matter where they fall on the spectrum. If in their heart is beating the passion of a mother, the longings and desires of a mother, if they're spending themselves for the sake of others in parenting, God, I pray for them. I pray your blessing on them. I pray you make your face shine on them and be gracious to them. I pray you make them strong and fill them with dignity. Show them, God, whisper to them this week what incredible human beings they are and how inspiring they are to all of us. God, strengthen them in their weakness. Hold them up in their exhaustion and sustain them in the life you've called them to. God, thank you for our moms, all of our moms. Without their hearts beating in them, we would be so lost. We thank you for them. Bless them and keep them in Jesus' name.